You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
It's working, the files are growing. Then I'll get over here to my phone with a timer. And whenever you are ready.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I'm just as sane as anybody.
But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, smelly cat, what are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
Welcome back to everybody to another episode of Banzai Retro Club. We are talking about something a little different tonight. We're going to go with another series of picks. We are going with movies from the 90s. We are all going to pick a specific movie and do a short little synopsis of it and bounce ideas off of each other of how we felt about the movie. And I am going to start off. And I'm really torn. There's so many great movies from the 90s that I wasn't sure what to pick. And so the first movie that comes to mind is actually Braveheart. But I think we've talked about this in the past. Might have been in the 80s reboot Overdrive days. Dave, do you recall?
I don't remember us having like an episode devoted to it. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
I might stick with that then.
You're cool.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to stick with Braveheart.
Okay.
I was going to go either Braveheart or American Beauty. American Beauty is very deep and thoughtful, but Braveheart has just always been one of my favorite movies. I have it loaded onto my iPad for plane trips and stuff like that, or travel. And I just love the action that's in it, the history that's part of it. Mel Gibson, I thought, did a fabulous job of being the lead character, William Wallace. There's just so much great, and it's funny. I had some friends that were very, very devoted Christians, and I appreciate that. And I'm a Christian myself, but they refused to watch anything that was rated R. And I thought, wow, you're really missing out on this great love story. This is an amazing love story. And the only reason it's rated R is because some of the gore that's involved with some of the battle scenes. And I always felt like they were missing out on this because they had that limitation. And that's the only reason that it has that R rating, is because there's some blood and guts that were part of that era of life. You know, this is such, now if Rose was on the show, she would tell the story. I mentioned Braveheart before. She would tell the story about how when they went to Scotland, and I hope Rose at some point jumps in and says, no, this is how I told the story, because I'm going to totally screw it up. I will tell you right now. So she said that, like, they went there, and her husband's actually Scottish. Rose's right. husband, actually from Scotland. And, you know, if you go to Scotland and you mention Braveheart, you might get ridiculed by the tour guides or something along those lines. That's kind of what she led.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, she kind of went down that road. So, you know, saying that it's really not all that accurate as far as historically presented, you know. But in some ways, it does definitely have some historical sense to it, that there was somebody named William Wallace back in the, you know, when was this, the 12th, 13th century? Long freaking time ago.
It's very, very retro.
Yeah, very, 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 very retro. Yeah. But I love the, I think the acting is all very well done in this. The action sequences are all very well done in this, but I think the heart of it is the love story that he, and at one point he has this moment where he says something about, somebody says, oh, you're just doing this for Marin, which is, was Marin, Madden, and which was the love of his life, you know, growing up. And they got married and she gets killed. And so it was all about revenge, you know, vengeance for his lost love. And that's what this whole movie is really about.
It was, you very know? Tragic.
It's a real, it's a true, it's a love story that has a lot of very interesting history to it, and battle scenes and all that stuff. So this is my pick. So, Suzanne, you seem to know about this movie. You like this movie.
This is an amazing, epic movie. Absolutely. I was an early fan, let's say, of Mel Gibson's movies. Now, I know he's kind of gone off the deep end in a lot of ways that I would like to emulate. But as far as his craft here, this was an amazing film. And I do recall hearing that, you know, it wasn't all that historically accurate, that they added a lot of things in there for drama, etc. But I think it was, I think the point, like you're saying, was accurate enough that Scotland was fighting for freedom, and that, the romance, it was beautiful. It was, you know, from he was in love with this woman from his childhood without her barely saying a word to him, because she comforted him at his father's funeral.
Right.
Which was just a beautiful, heartfelt moment, and you know wanted to cry through the whole thing. And then, of course, you know, spoiler alert, she's very brutally, horribly murdered in order to get him, in order to incite him to fight in this war. So it was just tragic. It was a very star-crossed, etc. But then his bravery and his ability to inspire the entire country, you know, to rebel the way they did with so many fewer resources than the English soldiers had was fabulous. It was inspiring. I guess that's still the best word for it. And it was brutal. It was brutal. There was you know, from the, you had said that you had downloaded onto your laptop or what have you for flights. I did that once too, because I'm kind of a nervous flyer. I hate flying. I usually get drunk on the plane, but you know, if I have something, I do, it helps. But if I have something to distract myself, then that works for me. So someone, you know, loaned me their version of this. I put it on my laptop, started watching it, and then remembered that from the very start, there are people like hanging from huts guts and bloody and people's heads being cut off. And I was like, oh my God, I can't watch this. It's giving me horrible anxiety. Because as you've noticed, I get kind of sensitive. But it is kind of a brutal film, too. It's there's a lot of different emotions. It really runs the gamut. So those are some of my Braveheart impressions.
Yeah. One of the things that always grips me about this is the color format that they used in shooting it. It's very gray. There's not a lot of bright colors. You never see any bright colors in this, so it makes the mood very somber and almost depressing throughout the whole film. There's never a moment where it's bright and cheery. You ever notice that?
I mean,
England, Scotland, Ireland, it's very foggy, rainy,
yeah,
cloudy most of the time, but they really gave it a good, they really did it justice by giving it that feel of just having a little bit more on the gray side than the brighter side, which is, mm-hmm. It's a movie that has, you know, a darker tone to it in the first place.
Yeah, and so, I think it really depicts just the conditions that they were living in. Yeah. They were living in basically huts with mud floors and things. It was quite primitive, you know, stone walls that they like assembled by hand. You know, just.
You know, the only thing that was missing in this movie was catapults.
Catapults,
yes.
As in Monty Python, yeah, I guess.
Throw out your dead.
Yeah. Well, they did, like, throw boulders at each other's heads in just, like, a shotgun contest at one point. Yeah.
No coconuts.
No, they actually had horses. Yeah. So, Dave, I know that in the past we've briefly discussed this movie. And you said that you never really got into it. How have you ever gone back to revisit it all?
No, I don't remember saying I never really got into it. I mean, I can remember some key sequences that, you know, I thought were very powerful in the movie. I think, you know, I started to revisit, like, a little bit in my brain, the conversation, and I seem to remember us having a discussion where I was confusing it with Rob Roy.
Mm.
So I, for some reason, that's sticking in my brain as to a past conversation that we had about this movie. But I mean, if you're looking at, you know, my thoughts now, it's tough to, you know, get over the craziness that is Mel Gibson. And I always have issues. I always have problems with, like, revisiting things with people after they're, you know, just doing despicable behavior. But going back to
Bill Cosby.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned Bill Cosby when he went through his whole,
right,
you know, that the whole, all of the accusations and sexual,
right,
things that.
And racist comments.
It's just a lot of stuff. And so you had, and I remember when we talked about this before, you asked me, well, even knowing what Mel Gibson socially has portrayed himself as,
right,
do you still appreciate the movie as much as you did or as you have? And I still say yes. I still appreciate movie for what it is, not necessarily just because it's Mel Gibson. I try to look past some of the actors and actresses sometimes to enjoy the story or the point what's being told.
And I think that's a very valid point. I think that if a artist can portray themselves in a movie and you forget who that person is, then they're doing their job. They're doing an exceptional job is what they're doing. So if that happens when you're watching this movie and that, you know, he's William Wallace, he's not Mel Gibson.
I was just about to say he's William Wallace at that moment.
Right.
He's not Mel Gibson.
Right.
Right.
It could be, you know, it could have been another actor if he had pulled it off as well as Mel Gibson did. I will say that he did a really good job of acting in this role.
Fabulous. That speech at the end of the film, that's one of the great movie speeches, if you ask me.
At the end?
Freedom?
Yeah, well, oh, well no, that's yeah, like, they can that's, never take our like freedom.
Yeah, that's in the middle of the movie. That's
I guess
like
it's not the end. It's just in front of when he's leading them into battle.
Yeah, it's like one of the first major battle scenes when they bring all the different clans together for a moment and he, you know, the certain people in the crowd are like, that's not William Wallace. William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, yes, and if he was down here now, he would shoot fire from his eyeballs and lightning from his arse or something like that.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
And he's, you know, in all the days from now until the day that you die, would you trade all of those days to have a chance for, you know, your freedom or your life or something like that? And it's a very inspiring moment. Dave, if you're going to edit this, drop that scene in, because that little bit of speech or whatever, it's a really nice little monologue that he does to inspire the troops. And even one of the other guys, one of his, you know, his partner, Stephen from Ireland.
Yeah,
which is one of my favorite characters.
It's He's my crazy. Island.
My yeah. island.
Yeah. He even says as they line up to prepare for this battle, it's so weird how they did that back then. Like they would stop and prepare and everybody would get lined up and wait for like a signal to attack. And Stephen turns to William Wallace and goes, "Fine speech." It's just such a funny moment. And it's just this whole movie has got so many great different sequences in it.
I like the line where he's like, "Well, where are you going?" He goes, "Well, I'm going to go pick a fight." He goes, "Well, we didn't get dressed up for nothing."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then there's we got the romance after his wife dies or is executed for not doing anything really wrong. You know, he has this new romance with the queen, or with the future queen of England.
Right?
Yeah, she's the princess of France. She's French. Mm-hmm. She and the king, Longshanks, his son, who is gay, is married to this queen and or this princess or whatever. And he has this romance with her and ends up getting pregnant with her and with him. It's a really interesting. I wish they would like do a follow up to that, because I don't know what happened after that. Like, did she really get pregnant by this William Wallace?
Was that part of the history or was that just part of the movie?
I don't know. Was that part of the drama? Did they write that in? Because
I'm going to assume that they did, because how would they know? They didn't have the technology to know whose baby was whose, so, you know, how would they know anyway? But
well, they know that it wasn't the king's son because they never had relations.
Well, I don't know if that's something they would admit to. But that's kind of us just this postulating, but who knows? Maybe that is part of the history, because people were just human beings do not change that much.
According to our good friend Google, there is no historical evidence that the princess and Wallace have ever met. Just ruined it, didn't
really?
I?
Thanks, man.
Yeah, sorry, buddy. We're done now? Is that it?
That changes everything. Oh, okay, well. So the movie that I want to pick, that I want to talk about.
Start over. Start the timer over. We're done.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bonsai Retro Club.
No, this is a good pick. I'm not going to take it back.
I'm going to talk about American Beauty.
No take backs.
No, wait, I want to talk about Tombstone. I'm going to talk about Tombstone. No. Like wait, I
damn
take
you,
I'm
Google.
Talk about Forrest Gump.
Damn you, Google.
But now it's okay. We knew that. You suspend your disbelief anyway. We knew that this couldn't be to the letter. You know the history right. of this right. of this war. You know. But and I had heard that. I had heard those kind of rumblings anyway, that he took a lot of liberties. But they created a very, very dramatic backdrop for the history, let's say, even if they made some of it up. So.
Agreed.
I'll allow it.
I still love. I can watch all 3 hours easily. I've watched it many, many times. It probably ranks right up there with the number of times that I've seen Star Wars: A New Hope.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What was that number? If you had to ballpark it.
Like. Okay, if I said start to finish,
sure.
I would say at least 5.
That's decent.
Start to finish.
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely decent.
And broken up over flights and road trips and whatnot, maybe another 5.
Wow.
Oh, there we go. And ding, ding, ding. Yeah, that... timer's a lot shorter than the movie.
That's true.
It's a 3-hour movie. 2 hours 58 minutes.
I want to add that I love the accents. I did a production of Brigadoon once in Florida. I had to do the Scottish accent for a couple of months. It was fun.
The Scottish accent's not easy.
Yeah, a little near to my heart. It was kind of written into the script. You know, funny, I went to a business meeting where it was like a conference, and they had a Halloween party because it was in October, and some big guy, you know, dressed up as with the Scottish kilt and such. And I mentioned to him that he reminded me of the production I did of Brick Dune, and he looked at me like, what? It's like, no, I'm Braveheart. I was like, uh-oh, okay. Never mentioned to the great big corporate guy that he looks like somebody out of Brigadoon because he's not going to get the joke.
You know, we have a town right here just south of us. It's called Dunedin, and they have a sister city in Scotland, and they have a lot of Scottish events in Dunedin. Where they'll have, like, you know, the bagpipe bands come in and everybody's in kilts, and it's very festive in the Scottish. It's got a very Scottish subculture in that area, so mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. I love that part of the world. I've been to Ireland. I would love to go back to Ireland. I would love to see Scotland and England. One of the things that jumps out at me about England is the influence that they've had in the world, even going back that far, how much power that they've actually had. It's incredible, really, the amount of power that they've had for so long. Think about the influence that they've put out in the world, along with the Spanish. Spanish is another very, very influential, powerful country that has influenced just language around the world. You have two main languages. You have English, Spanish, Spanish influences, English influences, and then maybe the Asian group. So you'd have probably 3 major languages that are more around today. like the Latin and all that stuff is the roots of Spanish and Italian stuff like that. Anyway, I'm going totally off track now. Don't even listen to me. Well, if you look at Spanish and Italian, it's very similar in language.
You forgot the Klingon.
Klingon.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're going into linguistics.
All right. Cool.
Okay.
Suzanne, you can write all about that, and will you translate it into all the different languages when you write?
You do a little Italian. That's about it. And I'm much better at reading it than writing it, believe me.
Cool. You like it a sauce? I like it a sauce. You like it a sauce?
I think you're on the sauce.
Well, yeah.
I think that's what's going on.
Okay, look, I've been driving for, let's see, we drove straight through Friday morning, left at like 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, drove all the way to Virginia.
I'm barely allowed to leave my house.
Yeah. With five greyhounds and one of them. And one of them had explosive diarrhea in the back of the van.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a fun stop.
Oh, God.
So I was driving there, and then we drove all day yesterday, and then we drove, a good portion of the day today. So as soon as we got home, I busted out the whiskey, and I've been hitting the sauce ever since. So.
Yeah. Attaboy.
Judge me if you must.
I'm still a little much even mix left. I'm going to get on it.
Right. So anyway, the beeper went off like probably about eight minutes ago, so I'm gonna wrap it up and say thank you guys for joining in with the Braveheart talk. I'm a big Braveheart geek fan, and Suzanne, thank you. Dave, thank you, and all the listeners, thank you very, very much. Very, 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 very. How many berries are there?
I don't know.
Very much.
Yeah. Very,
very good. A lot.
Very much. For listening and subscribing. And please go on whatever platform you're listening to us and leave reviews or comments or whatever you want to do. And you can find us at bonsairetroclub.com. You can email us at mcfly@bonsairetroclub.com. You can find Suzanne at suzannemataboni.com for her blog, and she's an excellent writer. And Dave takes care of all of our Twitter stuff at Bonsai Retro Club on Twitter. And I, Scott, have a Twitter account, and it is 80s Auto Reverse on Twitter. So that is all. We will talk to you guys all very, very soon. Very, 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 very soon. And be excellent to each other. And that is all. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Sons of Scotland, I am William Wallace.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. He kills men by the hundred. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arse. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that? No! We will run!
And we will live. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while.
and dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!